From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
That's right. You are listening to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And we're coming to you live today, which means we'd love to chat with you. The number is 800-848-WABC. That translates to 800-848-9222. And to get the conversation going, I've spent the last day, day and a half, at the New York Times Travel Show, where I've been meeting people from across the industry. And I met a dude from Seabourn Cruises, which is a very elegant line of mid-sized to smaller ships. And he told me that for the first time in 6 years, they, like some of their competitors, are doing an around-the-world cruise, and it's going for an entire year. And I said to him, who does that? Who are your passengers? And he said, well, we get a lot of retirees. So the question of the day is, would you ever consider an around-the-world tour, one that lasted a year? Would
this be retiring on one or just taking one or both?
Both. Would this be something you would do for your retirement, or would you think that would be a mistake? I don't know if on Seabourn you could do it for the same amount it would cost to live at home, but I know there have been people over the years who have lived on cruise ships after retirement because they found it to be as inexpensive as living at home would be. What would you do, Jason? Do you think you would want this type of lifestyle?
Well, you wouldn't have to cook, but you'd also get very sick of the food, I would think. I think there's some pluses. You know, if I had limited mobility, it would be great because you could see the world from the comfort of, you know, your room or your suite if you had one, which is great. I think I would go stir crazy, but I'm not a retirement age yet, and that may change as I get older, and I may actually would relish that kind of opportunity. What about you?
Well, you know me. I'm not the biggest cruiser. I think you enjoy cruises more than I do. I find it difficult to be in a prefab environment for too long.
Yeah.
I like
I just
cities.
It's dull. Yeah, but I understand why someone would like it. You know, there are people who like that kind of predictability, and it certainly would be predictable.
Well, and you would have, I don't know if it would be predictable, because you would be in a different port each day or every couple of days and really seeing very different parts of the world. And interestingly, they don't have a crew that would be on for the entire journey. Their crew is going to come in 3 month stints.
Yeah, so that's how their contracts are. Yeah.
Yeah. So you won't be seeing those people, but you will see apparently about 100 people have signed up to do the entire year. And then the
rest... what do the listeners think? The number is 800-848-9222. 800-848-WABC. You don't just have to talk about round-the-world cruises, although it'd be interesting. You can ask any travel question or talk about anything travel-related. That's what we're here for, so don't be afraid to call. Sorry, Pauline, go ahead.
That's right. So I was saying about 100 people apparently have signed up to be on this cruise for a year. The rest will be coming in stints. So you will have new people, although you'll also have the same people, which seems actually like a good balance, because you could form some deep relationships with people and maybe get away from somebody who annoys you. I don't know.
Yeah. I can see how some people would like, but I don't. What is there to say about it? I also do know there's some people who don't even make the round-the-world cruises their home. They just get on a cruise ship that goes back and forth in the Caribbean and stay on it.
Right.
I've heard of that as well.
Yeah.
Which would get monotonous. But then again, you know, everyone has their own tastes. And I think there are worse ways to spend your golden years, that's for sure.
Well, there is a doctor on board, so you do have medical care right there if you need it. And you don't have to cook, and somebody's going to be making your bed in the morning, and there'll always be a different view out the window. Can't say that for most retirement communities. For any retirement communities, actually, unless you, I don't know, strung up photos.
Well, there have been ships in the past that were not even for cruisers. They were actually designed for people to retire on, but they were for people with income so high that we don't really talk about them very much.
Right, right. No, it's an interesting one. We also have bad news to talk about in the world of travel. I think a lot of people are very nervous about traveling or going to airports because of the coronavirus, which is this very, very strong flu coming out of Wuhan, China. So, Jason, what do you think the advice is? What have you read so far? What's the update for travelers?
So far, the only people who had been infected by it, or at least confirmed infected by it, came from Wuhan. So unless you've been there in the last few weeks, you're probably okay at this point.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like the press loves jumping on these things and terrifying people. Remember SARS?
Uh-huh.
Did you know that zero Americans died of SARS? We tend to think of it, I think, as this disaster. And now I'm not going to make light of the fact that it's a terrible disease and it could mutate and become much more serious. But this winter so far in America, 6,600 people have already died of the flu, the regular flu.
Well, it's apparently a bad flu season this year.
Yeah. And that's where it gets tricky. And that's my advice is don't be afraid of leaving home because you've heard about coronavirus, because the regular flu is actually much, much, much worse. I personally lost one of my best friends a month ago, 46 years old, not sick, just died of the flu. Yeah. So if you're feeling unwell, check it out, because flus can get more serious as years go on because it's always mutating.
Right.
That's the thing. So if you feel unwell, go get yourself checked out. That's something I think we've been taking for granted for many years. You think you get the flu, you'll sleep it off. But the coronavirus itself, it's probably not the thing I would fear most. I would just keep my eyes alert, period, on the flu.
Yeah, and get your flu shot. Absolutely. It's not too
late. Yes, it's only between 20 and 60% effective because they have to anticipate what the strain is going to be. And the coronavirus does not yet figure into the shots that we've been getting.
Right. But interestingly, they've now broadened where they will be checking for illness, signs of illness in the United States. It had been just the New York airports, LA and Seattle. And now it's also going to be Chicago, Atlanta, and some others.
Well, they found someone in Chicago.
Yeah. So know what you're seeing at the airport. I think that's important.
But don't think you're going to sleep it off. That's my advice from my personal life.
Yeah. Let's turn to Steve in Long Island. Hey, Steve, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you and Jason. Yeah, I had some. I'm curious about the around the world cruise. Now, how is that set up? Do they go to, like, say, maybe 12 different ports and they stay each one for a month?
From what I understand, it's many more ports than that. They're moving every several days, I believe. But I don't know the ins and outs of it. I was just hearing about it. But most of them, you usually don't stay that long in port because I think that would be a little dull. I think people want more variety than that.
Yeah. I was tossing it up in my mind. I was saying, well, do they do one port every 2 weeks or every month? Okay. And where would that cruise originate? Would it originate in the States and then go all around the world? And what would be the approximate price for a cruise like that?
Oh, the price is going to be gasp-inducing, I think. And I know it's already out there, so I don't know if it initiated in the... It's already left its initial port.
But you can join it in some other port and just take it from there.
Right. Yeah. If you're interested, I mean, Seabourn Cruises is the company... Seabourn, but basically any travel agency that sells cruises will sell it too and should be able to give you the prices.
On an average Seabourn cruise, about how much a day would it be when it's not the world? $250, $300 a day maybe?
I would guess so. Yeah. This is a luxury product. Absolutely. Well, thank you for calling, Steve. Let's get Frank in Queens on the line. Hey, Frank, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show, and I understand you have an important public service announcement about cruising.
I don't know if it's a public service announcement, but I get annoyed now when you hear these ads and they're telling you, oh, you're going to get this free.
Right.
And especially the cruise line that uses three letters, because then when you call up... but when you call up, you find out that, quote-unquote, their drink package, which is free, is $21 a day in gratuities.
Interesting. Well, yeah.
That's $140-something. I don't find that as to be free.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was just at the New York Times travel show, and I give a speech. And in the speech, I said, I think the biggest scam in travel is the price of shore excursions, just because they're so outrageously overpriced. Interestingly, river cruises do include one free cruise a day, but you're right. Cruising,
free tour a day.
Free tour a day.
Yeah.
But regular sea-going cruises, they get you for everything. They even charge for soda. I mean, you think that things are going to be all-inclusive, but they're
you'll have
really
a choice
not.
Of a few restaurants, but all the interesting ones you won't be able to go to without paying $40 or $50. Even on the three-lettered cruise line, they're now charging for room service, which used to be free. You know, you're now paying a surcharge for that. It is very, very frustrating. And all the activities that they sell the ships with, you know, the zip line courses and the laser tag and the go-karts, they all cost. You know, you think you're going to get them when you go, like it's a amusement park. It's one price suits all. But no, you have to keep paying.
Yeah, no. So it's a good thing to know.
There's also that new cruise line that's starting out, that Virgin.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And if you read about him, he says, well, we don't have dining rooms. We have different restaurants.
Mm.
But then when you read his fine print, even though all the restaurants are free, there will be an upcharge on certain items.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. It's going to, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you called about that, because I think it is a big, not a scam, but something that people expect before they go on a cruise then are shocked.
It things like the mainstream family cruises, the three-lettered one, which of course is NCL and Royal Caribbean and Carnival, they very much have a pay-per-play model. You go higher up the scale, Regent Seven Seas, for example, most things will be included. And there are even cruise ships where the alcohol is included, but they're higher up the scale.
Right.
But the middle scale and the mass scale has made the conscious decision to make it really a fee-based experience, because they believe the middle class and the average traveler are now used to that, and they think we now accept it, but I don't.
Well, we have to take our first break, but to Wanda and Gina, we will get back to you as soon as we get back. Anybody else who wants to call, the number is 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. We'll be right back.
Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, the Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And let's get back to the phones. The number once again is 800-848-WABC, which is 800-848-9222. We have Wanda from Long Island on the line. Hey, Wanda, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you for calling. Wonderful show. And I came in last week on the tail end of something, and I didn't hear the whole conversation you had with this person. It was about a place in, I believe it was New York State, that had facilities similar to Yosemite.
Well, there are great.
No, it wasn't Yosemite. It was where they have the geysers, Yellowstone.
Oh,
you know, and
if it was Yosemite, I mean, there is great places to hike in New York State that have the same kind of gorgeous waterfalls. I mean, you go up to the Catskills, you go to Watkins Glen State Park, amazing hiking in that region, or you go to Overlook Mountain, which isn't far from Woodstock, and you get kind of a Yosemite vibe. But in terms of geysers, you know some in New York? I
believe
don't.
In the last, the end of the last show, we were talking partly about Montana. And a little piece of Yellowstone National Park pops over the border into Montana. We were talking about that. And you might have thought we were talking about New York State. This is just a public service announcement. If you ever want to go back and listen to any of our episodes, you can do it. They're all stored. And you go to frommers.com/podcast, is that right, Paul?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you can find them all there. You don't have to have a podcast. You can stream them right there on the website if you don't podcast yourself. So if you ever have any questions, you always can go back into our archive and enjoy us round the clock if you're that crazy.
Yes.
okay. So then this place was not...
not in New York State. I know of no geysers in New York State. We don't have that kind of geothermal geology here, unfortunately.
Yeah,
well, maybe
true.
Unfortunately.
I thought it was a miniature... Park that had
no,
it.
No. Thank you, Wanda, for calling. Let's move next to Gina in Edgewater, New Jersey. Gina, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, I have two questions, actually, and I'm going tomorrow to the travel show.
Oh, yay! Just let me give a plug, if you don't mind. I will be speaking at noon tomorrow down in the basement. They keep me underground, but a nice big room. Please come by and hear me at noon at the travel show. So, sorry. Go ahead, Gina. Gina, are you there? Uh-oh, did we lose Gina?
She's already gone off to the travel show to wait.
You know, you make
it sound like they put you in this awful wine cellar. It's not like the main floor has any windows either. It's just,
there's a lower level
and an upper level. And the upper level is the marketplace and the lower level is the speakers.
Right. Okay, I hear we have Gina back. Gina, thank you.
Sure. So my first question is, I'm taking a cruise from San Diego. It's going to end in Vancouver. And I was wondering, we're going to fly out of Seattle. What's the best way to get from Vancouver to Seattle? Is it like a train or a bus, or should I rent a car?
That's a good question. I did it in my own car the last time I did that.
I'm sure there must be a train, but what's your second question? And Jason will do his magic on the first question while you and I talk.
Okay, my second question is, I'm going to Rome by myself in June for a couple of days, and I was wanted to do day trips. I did want to go to Naples to have pizza, because I'm obsessed with that. But I was wondering, any other suggestions? Like, should I go to Lucca? What other towns would you suggest for day trips?
Have you been to Rome before?
I have. I love Rome.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, there's probably the fastest from Rome would be to go to, like, Siena. Because I know that there's a high-speed train there, so you won't spend too much time. Lucca, you'd spend a lot of time driving. I don't think there's a direct train there. So you would probably be a 3.5-4 hour drive, which I think would be rough for a day trip. But Siena can be done in a day. You can also, as you were saying, go to Naples in a day. There are also some very interesting hill towns in the region of Lazio, which is the state that holds Rome. And surprisingly, they don't get that much tourism, but some of them are really, really fascinating. You may want to look at a guide to Lazio. If you look at fromers.com, we should have some information. And there's also, of course, the old port of Rome, Ostia Antica. Have you ever been there?
Mm-mm.
That's also a fun day trip. It's an old Roman port, about 45 minutes from the center of Rome on the train. Now, Jason, do you have an answer on the first question?
Yeah, well, I was looking to see if there's good train service, and there really isn't. There is train service on the Amtrak, but it only goes a couple times a day, so that's not great. But there are lots of bus services, Bolt Bus, Quick Shuttle. It's easy to find bus. It takes about 3 hours or so. Including the border. Some people have also suggested that if the ferries are in your favor, you can go to Vancouver Island and then get a ferry to Seattle there. But I haven't looked deeply into that, but it's something to look into.
There's a very good website called Rome to Rio. The letter Rome, like the city you're going to, the number 2, and then Rio. And it usually shows you in one quick burst all of the different options from getting from point A to point B to every part of the world.
Oh, great. Okay, Rome to Rio. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Sure. Have a great time, Gina. Let's turn to Peter in Southport, Pennsylvania. Hey, Peter, you are live on the Fromer Show. Where is Southport?
No, it's Stroudsburg.
Oh, okay.
Right in the Delaware Water.
Yes,
gap,
I know
right
Stroudsburg. It was spelled Southport here on our screen. Okay. Well, what's all on your mind?
Okay, so parenthetically, because it's not what I called about, there is actually a little geyser in New York State.
No. Where?
Yeah. Up at Saratoga Springs, right near the old Roosevelt Baths, where my wife and I went recently to, you know, do the thermal, you know, the baths, which they heat the water in. But right near there, down the mountain, there, because the water from some of the springs, all the springs are different, and some of the springs are naturally carbonated, and so I guess the pressure from the carbonation, it's a small geyser, it runs steadily, and they can tell you right at the Roosevelt Baths with how to, you know, wend your way down to it, and it's maybe shoots 10 feet in the air, and it's continuous.
Wow.
It's a continuous geyser, so it's a little geyser, and it goes continuously, I guess, as I said, from the natural, you know, carbonation, you know, gas pressure.
Right. That's really cool. Thank you, Peter. Yeah, and I know you had another reason for calling. So,
well, yeah, another reason for calling. And I've been traveling for years. As a matter of fact, I used to carry under my arm an old book called Europe in $5 and $10 a day.
Thank you.
So that's literally $5 and $10 a day. So
yeah.
That's the original book. That's how long I've been traveling. I'm not a cruiser, but I took my dad and mom on a cruise a few years ago, one of these 2-day things to the Bahamas and back, and we had a very bad experience because my dad slipped and he was elderly and cracked his hip. And we then found out through a lot of research on my part that when you get injured on a ship or you have some sort of medical issue, you are in a whole bunch of trouble, because what you don't get informed about in advance is that you're not subject to injury. You can't sue them. You come under the auspices of the international maritime law, not United States law. And I spoke with a whole variety of different maritime law attorneys who were, not surprisingly, a lot of them centered in South Florida. And I had a friend who whose daughter worked on a Disney cruise ship. And she, as an employee, had an accident that
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, Peter. I loved hearing about the geysers, but this is good information, too. We have to take another break to Olin in Jamaica. We will take you when we get back. If others of you who'd like to call, the lovely Jen is sitting ready, waiting for your call. The number is 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. And before we go, it was interesting that Peter was talking about accidents that can happen on cruise ships. They can happen anywhere when you're traveling. And sometimes different laws are in place. And that means you want to have someone on your side, like a travel insurance company, so that you can navigate all of the different things that have to happen for you to get back home safe and sound. We think Allianz Travel Insurance is a terrific company for that. They have policies that cover cruising. They have policies that cover land travel. They have policies that cover all forms of travel and all forms of things that can go wrong on the road. To find out more about Allianz, visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
This week's program is sponsored by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. We also hope you'll call us. 800-848-9222 is the number. And we have Olan from Jamaica, New York on the line. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Pauline, actually, it's Olan, O-L-E-N.
Oh, Olan. Okay, nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak to you. I was wondering, maybe it was even on your show that I heard it, but I remember hearing at some point in time in the past that there's a consolidator or a website if you're interested in purchasing tickets for a business or first class fare.
Well, the truth is, pretty much every website that looks for airfares has a tab that you can push and look for business class and first class airfare that way. Jason?
I know that people like to use a website called flyertalk.com. It's a bulletin board, very old fashioned. But one of the message areas is called premium fare deals. And people sometimes swap information there. I know there's a number of other sites, iFlyFirstClass.com, First Class Flyer, that purport to put you in touch with the best going deals. I've never personally used them. I have no personal experience with them, so I can't recommend them. I can just tell you they exist. Some of them will want you to pay about $8 a month to access the fares they say are special. But maybe any of our listeners have ever used one of these services can let us know. But like Pauline said, you know, these tend to be readily findable for most people, and which is why Flyer Talk has this forum on premium fare deals. And people end up swapping out the same information from site to site. But yeah, maybe someone has better experience than I have with these subscription first class airfare services, but I know nothing about them except that they're there.
Yeah, and if you don't want a subscription one, you can simply check the box for first class and business class when you're searching on Kayak or Expedia or any of the other sites. Speaking of sites, I was really saddened to hear one of my favorite airfare search engines, HipMonk.com, yeah, which had a wonderful interface, really easy to use and clear to see how ugly the trip would be in terms of, stops and how long it took and all of that. Unfortunately, they have gone out of business.
I know, all of a sudden, without a warning. In fact, they had just made our list of the best airfare sites. Every year we do a hardcore drill down price check of all the major ones, and it made the top 10 in number 8. And now, of course, our list will have to go from 9 to 7.
Yeah, no, it's very sad. So, but if you look at the others on our list, you should be able to simply check a box on all of these major search engines, and that will filter out non-economy class tickets so that you'll only be seeing business and first. I hope that helps. You know, in addition to taking calls, we also take emails. You can email us at fromertravelshow@yahoo.com. And we got two in quick succession from Lee. Lee says, Vancouver to Seattle train was wonderful and much less expensive than the plane. Earlier today, we had somebody talking about how to get to those two cities. She said, there's also a bus, but I don't take buses. I don't mind buses. And Lee also had a question about insurance, and I thought this was very interesting. She asks, have you heard any updates on what the travel insurance companies are saying about covering trips to China, Japan, etc.? They often do not cover anything that was known prior to travel. I'm assuming this has to do with coronavirus. If you had a trip planned to China, you didn't have insurance, and you want to get insurance now, will you be able to get one that covers it? I don't know.
I would double check, because the World Health Organization has still declined to call this an international emergency. So, you know, according to even the World Health Organization, this is just flu as usual, just with a name. Until that changes, I think it's just arguable that the flu is everywhere. It's not unknown anything. But I do strongly recommend, don't listen to us, because we're not adjusters. You really should ask. Ask the insurer, will this cover it? But now, granted, I don't think you're going to get it, because China's, and I don't think there's anything in Japan. I think that was in the email. But China is really cracking down. It's Lunar New Year right now. Lots of people moving around. But I hear there's a tight grip on Wuhan, and they've even shut down Shanghai Disneyland.
Wow.
And Lunar New Year, it's usually shoulder to shoulder, which, of course, is what they're afraid of. So it's not even open. So they're really taking some major proactive steps to keep things from spreading. So I don't think you'd be in much trouble at the moment, but I say that with my heart in my throat.
Yeah, we have to take another break. Once again, that means it's a good opportunity to call us. Only 20 minutes left in the show. So if you have a burning travel question, 800-848-9222 is the number to call. We'll be right back.
The most popular destinations for you and your family, right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
All right, let's get back to the phones. 800-848-9222 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. And let's talk to Nancy in Allentown, PA. Hey, Nancy, thanks for calling.
Sure. I hear that the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is a really beautiful place to go. Tell me, what should we see up there?
Well, it really depends on the time of year. I mean, in winter right now, it's deep in snow, so it's a big snowshoeing destination. They have cross-country skiing. They have ice fishing. In summer, it's a gorgeous place because you're right off the Great Lakes, so you have these lovely beaches, these non-salinated waters to swim in. You have Isle Royale National Park. A lot of people fly into Traverse City and drive from there. In fact, I did that, I think it was 2 summers ago. Had a wonderful time. I mean, it's the untouched side of Michigan. It's really, really deep nature. Lots of pine forests and old settlement communities and open, welcoming people. It's a beautiful part of the United States. I highly recommend it.
My husband is very interested in history. Mm-hmm. Would there be things to do like that?
There's some quirky history in that area. People forget how big the Great Lakes are. And over the years, there have been shipwrecks, and there was a Coast Guard on those lakes. You have a lot of little history museums telling the history of trade on the Great Lakes. You also have other historic sites devoted to the Native American history of the area, and there were early traders in that area. If you're really into history, also go to Mackinac Island. That has a fort that was one of the United States' first national parks. It was downgraded. It's now a state park, but it's a fascinating place where never in its history, until I think Pence came to visit, have they had cars on the island. Apparently, Vice President Pence's cavalcade insisted on bringing cars over, but that's not normal there. And usually people get around in horse and carriage, and so the place, it really feels like you've gone back 100 years in time when you're there.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure, have a great day. Thanks for calling. Let's talk to Rod in Hillsborough, New Jersey. Hey, Rod, thanks for calling.
Well, Pauline and Jason, thank you very much. I just, a little bit of history. First trip to Europe was 1969, and I had with me Europe and $5 and $10 a day and Surprising Amsterdam, which I think was even before those books. So
it was after those books, but thank you. Yeah, he did Europe on $5 a day first.
Well, we go back with you a long time.
Oh, thank you.
Sort of the classic question, you probably answered it a million times, but I really appreciate your insight. We're doing a Disney cruise with my grandsons that are 6 and 8, Eastern Caribbean, going to Tortola and St. Thomas. The extended family loves to go snorkeling, and I know there are Disney excursions we would probably go with them, but I wanted, before we get on with them, it's not till August, I was wondering your recommendations on things like snorkeling on those islands, if there are specific beaches that you recommend, etc.
Well, in Tortola, there's some gorgeous beaches. And frankly, with kids that age, they'd probably be happy if you just grabbed a taxi and went to the beach for the day. I'm not sure if you need to pay for an additional excursion. There's a gorgeous beach called Cane Garden Bay, which has fine white sands and enough coverage from palm trees to keep you from burning up. There's also Smuggler's Cove, which is another white sand beach. I mean, Tortola is just an idyllically beautiful island. St. Thomas is known to some as the unvirgin island, in that it is somewhat built up. There are a lot of stores there. People go there for shopping. But as everywhere in that region, there's also great beaches to go to. Jason, do you have anything to add on this?
You know, I always like to check the lay of the land, see what people are offering in terms of excursions, because they might have ideas. We go to shoretrips.com. And that's a place where you can purchase trips, you know, that are not offered by the cruise line, so therefore might be a little bit cheaper. And they might also have some other, or they can take you to several and feed you in the middle of the day. So it's a way of doing an excursion that maybe isn't quite as expensive as going to the cruise line.
Shore Trips is excellent, as is their competitor, which is a British company called CruisingExcursions.com. And both of these companies, what they do is they work with local operators. And so they do pretty much often the exact same tours as the cruise lines do, but instead of having 40 people in a bus, they have 12 people in a van. So often you get to see slightly more because they have fewer people to herd, and you pay less. Okay. So look at those two, but oh my goodness, they're going to love the Disney cruise. That's the perfect age for them to do that.
We're thrilled about it, and we, again, love your show. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
We love it.
Thanks so much.
Pauline, you mentioned that there used to be a lot more shipping on the Great Lakes. Did you hear the news that Viking Cruises is going to be cruising on the Great Lakes in 2 years, going up St. Lawrence, you know, through Canada down to Milwaukee, which I think is going to be fascinating. They're building, have special ships that they're building that can handle it. So, and I think that Quasi Europe, which is a European cruise line, is also going to be doing St. Lawrence and the tip top of those lakes. So the Great Lakes are coming back into view again as a boating destination for vacations.
Yeah. No, it's one of the reasons we picked Indiana this year, because of Great Dunes National Park there. Reminds you how gorgeous the Great Lakes are and all of the beautiful areas that abut them. We have to take another break. Before I do, I want to remind everybody that we work with Allianz Travel Insurance. We talk about their products on this show, but we also give Frommer's information to their customers who go to 36 or so destinations, so that not only are they covered if something goes wrong, but they're more likely to have a trip that goes right because they get great Frommer's information on where to go, how to put together an itinerary, what are the top places to eat or to see or to sleep in. So to find out more about this and all about Allianz's travel insurance policies, visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
On it, 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Frommer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Frommer. You know, I've spent the last 2 days, because on Friday was the day for people in the travel industry, but I've been at the New York Times Travel Show. Highly recommend you go. I'll be speaking there tomorrow at noon. I'd love to meet more listeners. I met a bunch today. But what's so interesting about the show is not only are there great, great speakers, you have Amy Vershap, who is the travel editor for the New York Times. You have the very, what was his name, the guy who was the 52 Places traveler this year? He's talking about that epic voyage. He basically went in 1 year to 52 places around the globe. They're not doing it again this year, the New York Times, I think because maybe they're learning that that type of travel can kill you. I don't know. I mean, they've had two survive it, but I don't know if a third would. He's speaking. I'm speaking. Nomadic Matt spoke today. Just a lot of great travel experts. And then up on the floor of the Javits Center are booths with people from around the world, and you get to meet people from across the planet there to talk to you about either their product. Some of them are from cruise lines or tour companies or safari companies, or about their destination. And it's so interesting, the destinations that pop up there. This year, one of the biggest destinations is Puglia in Italy. Puglia, spelled P-U-G-L-I-A, which is basically the heel of the boot of Italy. And it's such an interesting thing that they are trying now, I think, to compete with the better-known parts of Italy. And they're bringing their game directly to the U.S. public and saying, maybe those parts are a little over-touristed. Come visit
us. You know, you and I have been recommending Puglia as an off-the-beaten-path part of Italy for a while. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess they finally caught on to their own appeal.
Yeah, so they're there. The Ukraine is there. And interestingly, Chernobyl tours now have a booth. That's a big thing. In when you go to Ukraine, apparently you can go to Chernobyl for a set amount of time. You can't go for too long, but they feel that the amount of radiation you get is safe enough. And I think with the TV series, people are dying to go there. Not dying to go there, but bad
I do know some people
phrase.
Who have gone, and they're people I respect, and they thought it was an illuminating time. That's probably not the right word either, but...
Yeah.
Chernobyl tours, yeah.
Yes, and I also stopped by the booth of an airline called French Bee. And if that name sounds familiar, last year we were raving about the fact that French Bee had started flights from the West Coast to Tahiti, and they were so affordable, all of the competitors had to match them, and suddenly Tahiti was much more inexpensive than it had been in years. At the booth, they are making the announcement that they're now going to be going to Paris.
And from where?
From New York City.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So apparently the price will start at $143 each way, which ain't bad for the height of summer.
You have to pay for a bag, probably, right?
I have a feeling you have to pay for every darn thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pick your seat, get a bag, you know.
But if you just want to go for a few days and you have a carry-on and... Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, so French Bee, and there's another company called Corsair that also will be going to Paris from New York at a budget level. So they, I guess, are replacing the carrier XL, which used to have cheap flights New York to Paris, but is no longer doing that route. So I was very heartened to see that. Some other interesting things I'm trying to think.
You did hear the disappointing news about JetBlue, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. That really broke my heart.
I don't know if anyone remembers when JetBlue first started flying, they were very proud of their TV sets at every seat and so proud that you wouldn't have to pay for bags. In fact, they ran commercials. There was a famous commercial where they put a hidden camera in a taxi, and then the taxi driver would tell the people who got in New York City, I'm going to charge you extra for your bags. And then they'd film them being outraged. And they'd say, we don't charge you for your bags on JetBlue. Well, now they charge the most of all the American carriers. They raised their prices by $5. It's now $35 for the first bag, $45 for the second. And they get away with it by claiming, as they always do, that it's for your convenience. And we're all so happy about it because they say, and this is true, if you buy your bag within 24 hours of the flight, so in other words, from a day before the flight on, then you get a $5 discount. But if you wait until the day you fly, then you pay the full $35 or $45. This is the way they do it in some of the most rinky-dink budget airlines in Europe. And I don't think it's necessarily a step in the right direction because you forget or you pack differently or, you change your mind about carrying on. Suddenly you're stuck with this much higher price as a penalty. I don't think that's very customer forward. What do you think?
I think it's terrible. I think it's absolutely awful. And, there had been a law passed when Obama was in office to get rid of a bunch of these fees. One of the fees was the fee to allow families to sit together. Both houses of Congress passed a law saying that the airlines should no longer be allowed to penalize families for wanting to sit together, that they should be able to pick seats together without paying an additional price. The problem was there was a loophole in that law. They said this may need more study. And so under the current administration, they've been studying and nothing has been happening. But Consumer Reports is leading the charge to make sure that this happens, that this law gets put into effect, because they have found that children who have been separated by their parents have been abused on a couple of flights on a plane.
That's a horror story.
It's a horror story. Horrible, horrible. And it's just nuts. Even I have teenage kids, but I can't imagine, say there was an emergency and I had to get off the plane, how would I be able to get off without knowing if my daughters are safe? You need to keep families together. It's not just a money issue. It's a safety issue. So Consumer Reports, the Department of Transportation is saying, oh, we didn't get enough complaints about this. So we're still studying it, but we don't think this is something that really needs to be changed. Consumer Reports is taking it upon themselves to gather complaints and give them to the DOT. So if you go to consumerreports.org, put in your complaint about this, they will forward this to the Department of Transportation. Hopefully, if we all make enough of a ruckus, they'll change this. Because it's outrageous.
So many things. They still haven't really timed how long it takes people to get off a plane now that there's so many seats crammed in there and we have our carry-ons in there. They haven't done the tests to see how that affects evacuations. That's another thing I'd like to scream and yell about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So come to the New York Times Travel Show tomorrow. We can discuss these issues and others in person. Get your book signed. You'll meet people from all over the world. I'd love to see you. Listening to music in my ears, I'm either crazy or the end of the show has come.
Or both.
Or both. Thank you so much for listening. And to those who are traveling, a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.